Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from inside the surprisingly comfortable Inferno armor, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. Joining me as always, he's the Dark Warlord of Improv, he's Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going tonight, sir?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Ooh, I love your Dark Warlord voice.
David, I'm well. How about you?
That was pretty good. Give me another take. Give me a B take.
You will never pass, David.
That was really good. It sounded like a weird combination of like Mrs. Bighead and my fourth grade English teacher.
Oh, I got real. That was a real tight dig.
Real,
for me.
Yeah,
real far dig on that.
Yeah, reach into my brain where no one else could know what I'm talking about. But yeah, that was pretty good.
Hey, it's just the two of us tonight.
Just the two of us. Hey, building castles in the sky. That actually ties in really well to tonight's series.
If you had to think, like, if this was just the two of us, mm-hmm. like, who between us is Will Smith and who's Jaden?
This isn't like, going right to end well for either like, of us.
Right off the cuff. No, it ends perfectly.
You got to be Jaden.
Perfect. That's what I wanted.
Okay, good. You go land on that alien planet and remember that danger is real, but fear is not.
After worst. I'm excited to get into this.
You just
want to
talk about that movie for the next hour?
No, and like if you wanna hear a fantastic synopsis of that terrible film, mm-hmm. go check out How Did This Get Made's
yes.
episode of After Earth is fantastic.
Little known fact that that podcast actually was kind of one of the kernels, the sources of inspiration for this very podcast, because sometimes we watch some of these shows and we're just like, who the fuck in their right mind greenlit this thing? This is terrible. And yeah, we kind of are a spiritual equivalent, I think, to How Did This Get Made.
Was that your way to just be like, look, we watch a lot of garbage. Speaking of garbage, well, we're going to talk about Ronin Warriors this week.
Yeah, well, you know how Sean feels about it. I was actually...
No. I thought that was like your segue.
No.
This show has a very fond place in my heart.
Yeah, but I will say I was disappointed when I revisited it here. Maybe it's just because when I watched it in syndication when it was on Cartoon Network, I... like kind of watched it out of order, or I just watched it in like, you know, fits and starts, or maybe it was a different dub and a different cut.
Or you just watched it in general.
Yeah, I don't know. But this time around, well, we'll get to it. We watched the first three episodes. Maybe that wasn't enough of a sampling to really get an idea of it. But if you guys aren't familiar with Ronin Warriors, I'm going to walk us through a brief history right now, and then I'll turn it back over to Sean. He's going to tell you what it was actually about. So Ronin Warriors, as you may have guessed, was a Japanese series, originally known as Yoroiden Samurai Troopers, literally Legendary Armor Samurai Troopers. It's a Japanese anime series and manga adaptation of Hajime Yatate's work. It was produced and animated by Sunrise, of course, because they do pretty much everything. And it aired in Japan from April of 1988 to March of 1989, with a total of 39 episodes. It made its way to the States quite a few years later. It was in the summer of 1995, and then appeared through syndication. Like we said, on Cartoon Network was probably the biggest place that it was. I think it was it on Toonami, or was it even before Toonami? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I watched this, so from its original run, it came on in, what, 88?
Yeah, in Japan in 88, and then it made its way over here in 95, once I got the dubbing down and the rights and everything. And
right, so yeah. Like, I remember watching this, so there was like a block of cartoons mm-hmm. that were on in the morning before school. I know I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But it was like The Adventures of Conan the Barbarian and then Ronin Warriors.
Yeah, which is a weird pairing, but I do remember that. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you have to think, like, both have swords, both have, you know, heroics, you know.
One has armor, one has a loincloth. I mean, it's...
Yeah, one was dubbed, one was not.
One was dumb, yeah.
No, one was dubbed.
Yeah, no, and like, the other was dumb. Was. They were both kind of dumb.
Okay, I see where you're going with this one. So, oh, boy. But, yeah, it just, like, I would wake up really early in the morning to watch this in Conan before I would like even begin to get ready for the school day. So,
dude, and I'll tell you what, maybe that's why I remembered it fondly, because it was just like, it was a very like high energy series and there wasn't a whole lot of substance to it, at least in the episodes that we watched. So maybe it was just something that like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you're half asleep still and you're just watching a bunch of like bright flashy colors on screen jump around, and that's enough to just get you amped up and get you motivated to hop on the bus and get to school.
I am like never awake at 6 o'clock in the
Yeah,
morning
no.
anymore.
I'm
It's
like on the road and
impossible.
I'm still half asleep, so watch out there, Atlanta. Be careful.
But yeah, like this is again, like this is one of those shows that I was so invested in it that like when they hit the end of like a story arc and then they went back to like the beginning of it, I was like, well, I mean, I guess I can get another hour of sleep, but I mean, I could also just rewatch it
Yeah, just
again.
watch
And
it again.
I can't tell you like how many times I think that I actually just watched Ronin Warriors like over and over again.
Yeah, well, we didn't really have much of a choice because, I mean, it was even like if the story wasn't wrapped up or if it was wrapped up and we just didn't really know or it wasn't very conclusive, that it just went back to the beginning. That used to drive me crazy on Dragon Ball Z before they got all the rights to it and before they got each arc as it came out.
But like this surprised the hell out of me, like that there was only 39
Yeah,
episodes.
I could have sworn
Like
there was more.
I
I
mean
thought this would have been more successful, especially with all the like extraneous stuff, the manga run, and then the three different like sort of mini movies that they released, and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah.
I was kind of like I was very surprised this didn't go further. I mean, this didn't even hit our 65 episode rule.
No, a lot of the stuff we talked about lately hasn't. And maybe that's just because we've been hitting a lot of like mid-90s and even early 2000s shows where they stopped doing the 65 episode rule of the 80s. And again, this has a different rule too because it was originally an actual Japanese production, not just a Japanese artwork made for an English voice cast. This was an actual, Japanese anime series that was then dubbed poorly by an English voice cast and brought over stateside. So that was one of the, I don't want to say originals because there were clearly a bunch before that, but it was one of the bigger ones. It was just quite a delay, 6, 7 year delay for that. However, I do have some good news for fans of this series or people who want to get their hands on it.
Go on.
Apparently, North American anime licensor Discotech Media announced late last year, in the fall of last year, that they have the license to the original Japanese anime and they plan to release it on DVD sometime this year, but they have to clear some issues with the dub. They also say they've licensed the OVAs, so the mini movies that are sort of like in canon but not in with the series. And those will include the Japanese and English audio with English subtitles, again, on DVD sometime this year. So I don't know what the progress is on that one. That was just kind of like a side note I found. But if you guys out there are interested in picking up Ronin Warriors in its original translations and its original appearance, you might be able to grab that on DVD this year. So.
And that's actually so I was talking with a former guest and friend Tony
Yeah,
Lazzaroni
hey, Tony.
earlier this week. Hey, Tony. And Tony was mentioning he's so when I mentioned about Ronin Warriors, he was saddened that he wasn't able to make it this week to hang out to talk about them, especially because he's been watching episodes of it for like the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
Like
really?
he's been really
He's been
excited
prepping.
about
He's done
he's
more
been
prep than anyone else on the show ever has,
prepping.
including us.
Like he was super excited about this show, and he was like, "Well, what ones are you like? What are you watching? Are you watching the dubbed, or are you watching like the original Japanese,
That's a good question.
like with the
What did you
subtitle?"
end up watching?
Well, I sent you the link to the dubbed one,
Yeah,
so
and I
I
think
watched.
I grabbed that and then just followed on YouTube the links for the other two. So yeah, I tend not to do that. I try to watch them in their native native trans whatever their presentation is. I try to watch it
Native
native.
language?
Native language. Well, I mean native as in
Wow,
the sense of like
you were
uncut
having a
or
real hard like sense of what?
say what? I try to watch it uncut in their native, the native cut, the native language, all that stuff. I don't like to watch like the Americanized kind of dumbed down and dubbed up edits if I can help it.
Right, well, that's
Yeah,
fair.
but this one I didn't really I didn't invest that much time and energy into it, so maybe a lot of stuff was lost in translation, but yeah.
Well, that's what I mean, I think that that would be an interesting thing for us to do would be to get the original English, or I'm sorry, to get the original version of Ronin Warriors and watch that, and then come back and talk about Ronin Warriors again in the future.
In Japanese, we're going to learn Japanese just for
And
that
we're going to learn
hour.
Japanese. It's going to be it'll be a real struggle. It'll probably be like a 5 minute episode.
Or at least people will only listen to us struggle through Japanese for 5 minutes.
About five.
I had a hard enough time with the creator's name and the actual title in Japanese. But
No,
yeah.
yeah, you knocked it out of the
Oh, I
park,
nailed
man.
it.
Don't
I
worry
nailed
about
it.
it.
Yeah.
Nah. You know what? If I didn't know any better, I would have actually thought that you were Asian.
Yeah, that's a lot funnier if this was like a video podcast. It would be much funnier to me, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring a visual joke into an audio
You did, but I
podcast?
loved it because I know what I look like.
Oh,
But yeah.
man.
No. I really do like going to watch the original versions, but in this case we did not. I don't know how different it would be though. I mean, did Tony have any kind of like any suggestions on that? Like what he thought was different or what was his take on
No,
that?
I mean, I think that this is maybe one of the, this might be maybe the first or the second show that we've watched that actually would have had two potential versions
Right.
of itself, like with different language translations. And so, he was saying this and Jackie Chan Adventures. So, he was saying that, like, it may have been interesting to go back and to check it out. So I think it's something that holds merit,
Yeah.
and I'm certainly interested in going back and taking a look at it. I would go back and watch more Ronin Warriors to see, what the comparison was. Because I think one of the things that when we talk about this show that we're going to realize is that there's a lot of context that's really just sort of assumed,
Oh, yeah.
at least within the first three episodes, and I'm sure that they flesh that out over the next
Well, let's hope.
36. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. But, if anything, I'm gonna go on record saying they probably don't fill in a ton of it
Well, look, just like
because.
even culturally, though, I mean, this is something that would should be very easy for like a Japanese kid in the late 80s, early 90s to just pick up, understand, like, oh, okay, these are samurai wandering, like Ronin warriors, obviously, because that's in the title, and they're fighting back against this sort of imperial dynasty, and it's got some sort of supernatural elements to it, but it's got a lot of like the cultural iconography and a lot of the historical context kind of wrapped up in it. Now, translate that over to an American audience. Don't explain anything. Assume that they have like zero background in Japanese history or culture, and it just becomes a like a what the fuck is going on kind of show. And they don't really go to any lengths to try to explain anything. But they do have a ton of exposition just for like the physical things that are currently happening in a scene, which drove me
Yeah.
insane. But yeah.
Like in the moment, there is an obnoxious, unnecessary amount of
Yeah.
context. But like historically, in the character development, at least for the first three episodes, you're kind of left wondering, like, who the fuck are these people? And why are they here? And what are they doing? And why are they so bad at doing
Well,
this
buddy, that
stuff?
is a perfect jumping off point to actually tell the folks out there who are not familiar with the show what Ronin Warriors is about in a nutshell. So I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. So Talpa, the demon lord of the
As you
netherworld,
do.
has decided that he wants to conquer everything under the sun in the mortal world. So the standing with Talpa, he has four, I want to say, pretty awesome dark warlords that we'll get into a little bit
Definitely.
later. Standing in the opposite corner as opposition are five Ronin warriors. Now, they possess magical armors, weapons, and a white tiger.
Yeah, who's the best? Doesn't make any sense,
And the
but
white
he's
tiger.
the best. Especially if you're like a Siegfried and Roy fan. Yeah.
Right, which they make a joke about, I think, in episode
Oh, do
two.
they? I think I missed that.
They something, oh no, they say it in the first episode during the TV cast when Ryu shows up with the tiger
White
and
Blaze.
White Blaze.
Oh, boy.
Is the name of this
Just wait, I
tiger.
got more on White Blaze later on.
Oh boy. So they are the newscaster because they're filming you see like a news report where there's like a boy walking down the street with a tiger and somebody's like, it's a white tiger, but this is in Vegas, so it can't be Siegfried and
That's
Roy.
right,
And
I
it's
do
just kind
remember
of
that, yeah.
like I rolled with my entire
Ooh.
body.
Yeah, Sean just fell on the floor and rolled around.
Oof. So,
That's part of the American. I 100% know that that's part of the American dub. Like, the Japanese people were
absolutely.
probably like, oh, let's make a Vegas Siegfried and Roy joke here. Oh,
And I
America.
can't imagine, like, if I was in the booth, like, recording for,
Oof.
like, this show, like, if I would have had the opportunity, I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna totally throw in a sick burn towards Siegfried and Roy
Yeah, take that.
about this fucking white tiger.
And then
So,
years later, whoops.
right? In assisting the Ronin Warriors, we have a couple people.
Yeah,
We
they
have
were all terrible.
Mia, who's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
We have a young she's a student, like she's a young student teacher.
Right.
She has something or like a degree in like was it like myth like
Myth-busting.
mytholo myth
Yeah,
mythology.
degree in Mythbusters.
Yes. She's from the Adam Savage University. And so she's a student teacher and she's got like some expertise in lore and like demonology or
Yeah, and
something
I'm gonna
crap
say
like
she also
that.
majored in computer. Not computers, because I've only ever seen one computer on the show, and it's just like the weird
Just
old, just computer.
computers,
Just.
simply
She majored
computer.
in that computer. Because
That one single
it gives her
computer.
access to everything, but you never see another one on the show.
That computer was
It was
amazing.
great.
I love that. So, along with Worthless Mia, there is an equally, if not more worthless, young boy named Yuli.
Yeah.
And then there's just like this mysterious monk that's called the Ancient
Right.
that just like he may have just been called like he should have just been called like Deus Ex Machina
Yeah,
because
basically.
that's what his role served as.
Yeah, you nailed it. There's also a we'll talk about him in he's in the first episode. Was he the grandfather of this the of Mia, or was he just like some creepy old dude that she was hanging out with? Was it her professor? I don't remember exactly what that was about.
I'm gonna tell you how I wanted it to
Oh, I
go.
knew that was coming.
I definitely wanted it to be like really
Like
creepy,
an
kind
old
of like
boy
a
kind of relationship?
not an old boy,
No.
but sort of just like
You
that
sure?
like traditional like student sensei. Like I want like the three S's. I want like student sensei sexy.
Hmm.
Like that's what I'm looking
Well, it's
for.
about to get weird because apparently it was her grandfather. So, there's
No,
that.
I know, I know. So, but yeah, that like, so I don't know. I want to get into these characters
Yeah, let's do. Yeah.
because they're interesting, but at the same time, they are like, you're going to see them
Oh
plenty,
yeah.
but you're going to get,
Immediately too. You're going to see them immediately.
yeah, you're going to see them immediately,
Yeah.
but you're gonna be like, okay, there's a lot to learn from watching them. Like, so we have the unofficial like goober of this whole dealio is Ryu Sanada.
Now, did you get Ryu or did you get Ryo?
I thought
Or
it was
Ryo?
Ryu.
Was it
I
Ryu?
thought it was I thought it was Ryo.
Now I literally just watched the damn thing and now I can't think of how they said. I
I
could have
know, I
sworn they
know.
said
I made you
Ryo, but
doubt yourself.
either
Is it
one.
Ryo?
I mean, it's spelled Ryo, but either one, however you want to do it.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I just said 6 seconds
You
ago.
said Ryu, like from
I
Street
said
Fighter.
Ryu?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
So we've got Ryu from Street Fighter. We've
That's
got Raiden
easy.
from Mortal Kombat as the
So
Ancient.
Scorpion and Sub-Zero are in this
Yes.
show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, judging by their armor, they might as well have been.
Yeah, we need to get into that too because you would think, okay, so I was really excited for this show. I don't remember if I pitched it originally or not, but I was excited for it. And I thought originally Ronin Warriors was like, from what I remembered, it was an action series that began with like each of the warriors kind of learning their own powers and then eventually meeting up with each of their fellow warriors to like grow stronger as a team. I was very, very wrong. That is not how this show kind of unfolds whatsoever. It's nowhere near that. It's weird because they all just kind of come like almost fully formed. That was a little strange. So, yeah, we start off with Ryo
Well,
and White Blaze, who Sean mentioned earlier. He's just like, just the dude walking down the street with a white tiger. Like, no big deal. Nothing to see here, right?
I think that's like, because this is gonna get a little bit into episode one.
Sure, and that's fine.
And I think it needs to be kind of like dug into. Like the whole idea is that like he like Ryo just shows up. Like there's no like there's a little bit of like an ominous kind of
Well, I mean,
introduction.
we might as well, since we're talking about the characters anyway, we already mentioned Mia and her grandfather and Yuli, so we might as well talk about kind of what gets us into the first
I
episode.
mean
Yeah.
I kind of just want to rename Mia and Yuli, and I just kind of want to call them Cannon and
That'd
Fodder,
be fine.
because they are like
That's a
if
little too sexual
you
for me, considering their relationship and age difference, but that's fine.
no Cannon and Fodder. No, I mean like they're like human shields half the time in like every battle. Like
Yeah.
they're like the one thing that stands in the way of these Ronin warriors actually being able to do their job 50% of the time.
That's pretty true. Yeah. Pretty true.
So
that's tension. That's dramatic tension. Take two useless, annoying characters and then save them every episode from their own stupidity.
Yeah, these guys were kind of like Yamcha and like Krillin. You're just like,
yeah,
they're gonna maybe die.
Dude, at least Yamcha and Krillin had like actual powers, though.
Yeah,
these guys
are
just like you said, they're cannon fodder. They're just like in the way all the time.
Even
in the first episode, yeah.
We're just like really getting into DBZ. Like, maybe we should have just talked about.
Do you
want to
just talk about DBZ for a while?
Yeah, I just want to talk about DBZ.
I love Krillin's Destructo Disc. It's one of my favorite moves ever.
It is, and he's got the Flash thing too. Like, he was such an underrated character.
He really was, because he was only a foot tall. Yeah.
Mm.
Still better than any of these characters. Okay, so we've got Mia on her computer, majoring in myth busting, and
right.
Her
so this
grand
is
answer.
Like,
yeah.
This episode, like, you come in to episode one, and there is, like, a laughing cloud that kind of shrouds, I guess, Japan?
Yeah, Toyama, I guess, which I don't know if it's a prefecture or a province or just a city, but Toyama, I think it is. Yeah.
So, like, you get this, like, laughing cloud that's just kind of, like, very, very kind of sinister.
Which, I mean, for Japan, that's probably not unusual. I feel like that could be engineered over there. They probably just have laughing clouds that come through the city on a daily basis. Cheer people up.
That's pretty. That is the nexus. That's like the genesis of laughing clouds.
Yeah.
It is just
laughing cloud
area.
Incorporated. Yeah.
That province is well known for their laughing clouds.
Mm-hmm. This one went terribly wrong, though. Turned into a dark laughing cloud.
Really did. Yeah. It went pretty bad pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Real fast. Within the first 2 minutes, pretty much. Yeah.
So, like, you think for, like, 2 seconds, like, oh, God, like, is this cloud, like, what is this cloud going to do? Like, are they fighting the elements? Is this, like, a Captain Planet-style heavy-handed message that, like, you should not pollute?
Nope.
And then suddenly, like, it kind of forms into, like, a shogun.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. They're, like, they're not fighting the weather.
No. It's just it's a giant kabuki warrior in the sky. Everything's fine.
Like, here we go. Okay, cool. And so then it immediately, like, smash cuts to Mia and her grandfather. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't even know. I mean, I'd love to see and know a little bit more about, like, the Japanese translation. Because, like, I don't know if that was, like, kanji on the screen or if it was just, like, blips and giggles, but like it didn't look like words. It didn't look like words in any language I've ever seen.
It didn't look like anything. Just looked like weird images. Now remember, this is 1988 computer, so maybe they only had room for like one character at a time. I don't know, but like it was just a strange little thing from which they derive like, oh, this is the rise of the all-powerful dynasty from the netherworld that's trying to take over our mortal world, and it's the end of the world. Hopefully the Ronin warriors show up. Like, that's what they hit you with within the first, like, 2 minutes of the show. And you're just like, well, hold on, what's happening? You got a laughing shogun in the sky, and there's who coming now? Who's showing up? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they hit you with.
They get really worried by, like, this predictive analysis that comes across on the screen, and they're just like, oh, shit, the world is over.
Yep,
which,
just like that.
If you're ever on the internet on any given day, that's the exact message that the internet conveys to you anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. We're either going to be overrun by cats or done in by Ebola or something.
Or like terrible shit in the news happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Rarely a laughing cloud with a shogunate in it, but you never know. Someday.
I would have loved if they would have pulled up like a BuzzFeed article and it's like, it would have been like top 11 ways that like your province or city or whatever will be destroyed, and it would have been like one giant laughing cloud.
Laughing cloud. There is there is the glow cloud from Night Vale, so that could be
that's right.
That could be tied in. Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's send the Ronin warriors to Night Vale and see if they can clear some shit up over there.
I hope this is canon.
Ooh, I hope so too.
God. So like, computer screen that makes absolutely like no sense.
Right.
Do you remember what the grandfather like says?
Oh, I don't remember verbatim. I just remember it being ridiculous and me just laughing because it was so just terrible and just so straight, kind of like bad translation. But what does he say?
He just like looks on and he goes, The world may very well end today. And
It's
I
like,
was like,
that's it, I'm out.
how'd you get that from like Netscape Navigator, asshole? Like, just calm down. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I thought you would think that like maybe older people would have sort of like that sage-like wisdom that you'd be looking for, but like this grandpa had no chill. Like, he was
Dude, and his
nuts.
only the only reason he was there was to be like you said, kind of like appear like a sage, like a wizened old character. And then a cloud shows up, and he's like, "Oh, we're fucked. The world's over. Our only hope is if these random Ronin warriors, arrive from the past or whatever." And then you never see
Right.
grandfather again. You cut away from him, and he's practically dead because you never hear from him again.
I mean, does he come back, or
I
is that
don't
like
know. I don't
weird?
know if he's supposed to be tied into the ancient or if that's actually another character. Because when they do a little reveal on him and you hear him speak for the first time, I don't think it's a grandfather.
Really?
I mean, it could be. Unfortunately, sorry, listeners, we didn't get to watch all 39 episodes. So if you know, please let us know if the grandfather ever makes an appearance, if he's tied into the ancient, or if it's completely unrelated nonsense. As the rest of the show is unrelated nonsense. So then we finally get to the Ronin Warriors, whether you know it or
Well,
not.
I mean, like, do you want me to spoil it for you?
Did you look it up?
I mean, I had sort of a loaded question.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, let me know. Who's the ancient or who's granddad?
He's not the
Okay. So he just
grandfather.
pretty much dies in the first episode and we're left to not care about him ever again.
Grandfather's there for like 2 seconds, and it's just like, I think grandfather is the only intelligent one
Yeah, because he
out
probably
of.
just got the fuck out of there. He's just like,
Yeah,
I'm going to the
exactly.
countryside. Yeah.
So like you get this gloat cloud that like comes in, and all of a sudden like stuff kind of like gets a little bit crazy, gets a little bit
Doesn't
weird,
it? Yeah, it kind
and
of
like
shorts everything out, doesn't it?
yeah,
Like
it
electrically
kind of
shorts
like
everything out, yeah.
correct, sort of like an EMP. It just
Yeah,
kind of like
so that one computer is no longer useful.
right. So like nothing within this city, just this city slash province, is working anymore. It's a pretty small footprint when you're
Yeah, I mean, it's a
considering
work in
like global
progress.
domination.
Work in progress. The dark netherworld emperor probably expended quite a bit of energy getting his giant face, his giant armor's skull up there, his mask, and his entire castle into the sky. Probably took a bit of juice. So yeah, I can understand why he wants to start small.
Yeah.
He
I
reminded
mean,
me, you just see this big masked face of like a samurai warrior. He reminded me of Viggo from Ghostbusters 2, when he's just like
ooh,
the giant
okay.
face on the wall kind of thing, just talking to you.
I could see
Yeah,
that,
because he's
yeah.
kind of like a hologram. You never really see him in the flesh. Until I'm assuming the end when he fights, but that's getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
What was your other
that
name for him? For Talpa, the Netherworld
I
Emperor?
can't I keep looking at the word talpa, which is spelled
Mm.
TALPA, and my brain does this all the time. It substitutes in words that I think are more enjoyable, and I keep seeing the word tilapia,
Which is perfectly acceptable.
which I keep seeing tilapia. It's, oh God, I should not. I should be illiterate, is
You should just make the choice to
I
be
should
illiterate.
just be
Unlearn
illiterate.
everything you know.
You know, how much fun would that be if I just started reading what I thought things were and just enjoying myself? I would have an infinite amount more fun. More fun? I'd be
You're
so
on you are
happy.
on the right path, my friend.
Yes. Oh boy. Oh man. All right. So crazy computer screen, and then like we get this like, so like it then it fades into after like this. Like dire prediction about like the end of the world, like it cuts to like sort of a happy family
Yeah,
moment.
just walking down the street, hanging out. And they're what, window shopping at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's just a mom and dad and they're a little kid, they're a little brat. They're just window shopping. And was it his birthday? Is that why he was getting a present?
I don't know.
It doesn't even
I
matter.
didn't care.
He probably brought home like straight A's from college 'cause he's a 6-year-old Japanese kid, so he just
Jeez.
graduated as like an engineer in Laughing Cloud Manufacturing. But yeah, so whatever. So he wants a skateboard, and he basically just like grabs one out of the store. And do they cut right to him just like skateboarding, or does it come back to Ryo first?
It cuts to him just like skateboarding.
Yeah, he's
He's
just
just
skateboarding down the
like,
street,
he's
whatever.
just, and he, did you like, so I think my favorite part, one of the parts that I laughed the hardest, is that like they wanted to, like the boy, like Yuli wanted to go look at the toys. And the mother just goes, but we have to go shopping, and then we have to cook dinner, and then we have to make it to the show. And
White people problems, am I right?
oh my God,
White people
like,
problems in a Japanese anime.
boom. Like,
Yep.
it was like, oh my God, these things that you have to do
Japan,
are,
that's exactly how difficult it is for us here.
oh my
You nailed it
God.
spot
Like,
on.
when your day is just errands, don't even talk to me.
No, I don't even want to hear it.
Just get out of my face.
No. If it were real Americans, though, they would have people that they would pay to go on those errands. So maybe that wasn't even his parents. They might have just been like the random wait
Surrogate
staff that
parents?
they just sent him along
Like
with.
rent-a-parents? Did you just get them out of like a Japanese vending machine?
Yeah, exactly. Yuli, you can buy your own Yuli.
That's
You can
perfect.
also buy your own surrogate parents. Good
Oh
times.
my God.
Can you
So
buy
he
your own white
gets.
tiger from a vending machine? Because that's apparently where he got him, because he just shows up in the middle of nowhere. He's never explained. I don't know if they ever talk about where those two kind of paired up or how they got together.
I mean, like, they bump into each other, and then he finds him, like, after I guess the city's been, like, under siege, and they just kind of, like, pair up, you
Wait, so
know?
wait, Ryo and Blaze weren't together to begin with, though?
Oh, no, that they were. They
Oh,
were.
yeah. No, I'm
So
not talking about the kid.
you find out a little bit, you find out, like, later, that, like, Ryo's mom is she's, like, an animal wildlife photographer.
Yeah, there's
And
a bunch of
like,
crazy weird stuff about all the warriors. They all come from like Ryo comes from like a shinobi family, and
right.
a lot of them are orphans, and they all kind of have similar stories, but yeah.
And then like they're kind of like they're sort of isolated from like a lot of
Right.
society and
Right.
humanity, and so like they've kind of grown up like away from one another. And like that's kind of a like if your idea is that like you want to have these like shinobi. Or you want to have these warriors, these Ronin, if you want to have them work and fight together, you think that you would like maybe assemble them and like kind of maybe pair up some of their training so that they understand what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe. But the thing is, we don't really know how they all got together because it just kind of happens.
It just
It just
happens.
happens. Like,
Like they just all show
there's no
up.
build up to anything. It's literally, it goes from old man saying the world's about to end, he hopes these warriors show up. One of them shows up with a white tiger, and then the rest of them show up a couple minutes later, and they're all
Well,
together. Like, here you go. That was it.
in between, I want to say my favorite line out of these three episodes are when Yuli is on the skateboard
Okay.
and he makes a Jim Carrey in the Mask
Right.
reference where he's on the skateboard and he just goes, smoking! And I'm like, oh my God.
America.
Like, I was like, is that what they think? Do they think that we're all Jim Carreys?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he kind of owned the 90s there. Yeah. So
I
between
mean, fair
Siegfried and
point.
Roy and Jim Carrey, that's pretty much wrapped up the American way of life in the 90s.
But, Dave, to your
Yeah.
point,
Wait, I had a point?
yeah,
Oh.
ominous
Right.
prediction
Check.
followed by immediate, like,
Resolution.
surprise
Right.
arrival that is totally elusive. Five Ronin warriors just
Here
like,
they are. Here are the title characters. Without any introduction, without any struggle to get there, without any kind of dramatic tension, there are no stakes involved. You don't care about anybody on screen. And they just start fighting. And honestly, when they start fighting in the first episode, they don't stop until more or less the end of the third episode. It's
right.
just a constant battle. And different people jump in at different times. Nobody really knows what's going on. Sean and I were talking offline that the first three episodes, when you watch them all together, they do kind of make a loose assemblage of an introductory story, because the way that the third episode ends, which we'll talk about, it does kind of serve a better introduction for the rest of the series. It's just weird the way that the first two episodes kind of kick off. It's very strange. So we've got Ryo, a random kid, walking down the middle of the street with a white tiger. People are freaking out about the glow cloud, but they're also freaking out about the kid with the tiger. So, like, a bunch of cops show up to kind of circle him and, like, kind of pen him in, which is exactly what you want to do with a wild tiger and a crazy person. Just circle him in and just freak him out even more. And then, like Sean mentioned earlier, we got the news crew showing up. And then Ryo goes and does something kind of strange. Do you remember what he does? He's kind of ignoring everybody, right? But he's clearly on the lookout for someone. He's waiting for someone. He's waiting to do something. Do you remember what he did?
Not exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, basically he's looking up at the cloud and he's looking at everybody around him, and he calls out to someone. You don't know who it is yet. He basically calls out like, "Come and fight me already. Like, I'm here. I'm ready. Let's just get this over with." And this crazy looking samurai warrior with kind of like a shadowy face, you don't get to see his face, just appears. And it turns out that he's one of the dynasty soldiers. So he's not one of the warlords. He's not one of the named ones who we'll talk about
He's the
in a few
guy
minutes.
that they refer to as
Yeah,
Buckethead.
he's Buckethead because he has a helmet on. So
Got a
that's
helmet on.
good job, English screenwriting team. That
If
was well
you
done.
can hear Dave take the deepest
Oh,
sigh of
yeah.
his life right now, that's what he's doing. There it is. There it is.
Recorded
Oof.
for posterity.
That was
It's
good. That was
I mean,
good. That was real
to
good.
Sean and Tony's point, I think we owe it to this show and to our listeners to probably go back and watch the original cuts, because this thing has just been shredded. I don't know if the plot is as shredded in the American cuts. The voice acting is probably much worse. There are a few here and there that are decent. There's actually kind of like a side story. I don't know if this is legit or not, but if you watch the American dub, the second episode sounds drastically different from any of the other ones because apparently the voice actors got strep throat and they didn't want them in the booth. They couldn't speak, so they just brought in like a replacement team for that recording, and then brought the other guys back in later. That's what I heard on the internet, so obviously it's true. So there you go.
I would have loved to have been like working that day when they're just like, "Hey, we got a call from the guys who are voicing the English language Roman warriors. You want to put them through?" And they're like, "I just got a really sore thumb. Just not gonna be able to make it in
See,
today."
I wish I would have been working like as a janitor at the studio, and they'd have been like, "Dave, put that mop down and come voice a Ronin Warrior." I'd have been like, "Fan fucking tastic! It's my big break, Ma." Yeah. And then they cut you out after one episode, one terrible, terrible episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we've got Rio, we've got White Blaze, which is this big ass white tiger, and we've got Buckethead, which is the one of the dynasty soldiers, and they just
Right.
immediately start fighting. They just immediately start fighting.
Why would you
Yeah,
not?
why would you
Like,
not?
Ryo rips off his
Yeah, he
clothes.
does.
He,
Now
ooh.
we're talking.
Ryo rips
And
off his
rides that
clothes
tiger.
and like is immediately in armor
He's
underneath,
in.
which makes you
Yeah,
think.
there's like weird stages of armor. There's like workout armor, where it's just kind of like you're just warming up, you're just going for a jog in your kind of armor suit. Then there's like the powered up armor, and then there are different levels of that because Japan.
Right.
So that's just how that works.
Dave, it's never their final form.
No, it never is. They've actually, like, there's some Wikipedia comments where it's just like, in the third OVA, Ryo develops a new armor that has yet to be seen. I was like, well, wait, hold on a second. How do you know that he develops it if you haven't seen it? But anyway, it doesn't
Jesus.
matter.
Well, that's actually to the point that we were making earlier about understanding a little bit more about the ancient.
Right.
He's the one that made the armor.
Oh, I see, I see. I
Yeah,
think I missed
right?
that. I missed that, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the typical, if you're familiar with, like, I don't know, Inuyasha or any of these sort of like older historical Japanese anime that follow samurai, that follow ninja, ronins, and monks. If you know the typical kind of monk getup, it's their robes. A lot of times they have the really wide brim hat, and then they have the staff with kind of like the rings on it. That's basically this ancient.
He's got like a stick with bangles
He's got a
on.
stick
Let's
with
not
bangles.
sugarcoat
He's got a stick with bangles.
it. Got a fucking stick with
Yeah,
bangles on
it's
it.
pretty
Like,
powerful though. He's easily the most powerful kind of neutral or heroic character we see early on, because he
well,
just
I
kind of
mean,
walks
like,
into stuff and then just either completely transports people away from things, or just, like you said, he's the hand of God, basically comes in and just helps the heroes out when they get in the pickle. Yeah.
yeah, that's good.
But that's it. Yeah.
So. Ryo begins fighting, and then, like,
He's basically
I don't.
like it. You don't know. Okay, again, at this point, you don't know anything about
If
him.
we're like, if we're struggling with this, like, this is hard. This is like, because all it is just it's a bunch. It's just
It's
fighting.
just
Like,
fight.
it's.
It's 1.5 hours of fighting. There's no real introduction. We barely get their names. Ryo just kind of fights against this guy for no real reason. You don't really know why, and you don't know what his training has, progressed to. Because at this point, if this is the best he's gotten after like a lifetime of training, then he's fucked because he's terrible. He
Right.
can't take down this one guy solo. So I don't remember. I think he and White Blaze each kind of get beat up quite a bit.
Correct.
And he's about to get almost like a death blow dealt to him when one of the other Ronin warriors steps in.
Right.
Okay. And that is when the other four kind of make their grand entrance out of nowhere, completely unannounced. We've never seen these people before. We still don't really know what a Ronin warrior is, unless maybe you have a Japanese historical background. I
And
think,
you're really
yeah.
led to believe that these other Ronin warriors really have did you get any sense that they had been introduced to one another in
I mean, dude, the
advance?
fact that all four of them show up at the same time, I felt like they at least shared a cab there. Like, I don't know what
Yeah,
else, like, what else would have made them all show up at the exact same time. I don't know, but clearly it's revealed very, very shortly thereafter that they have not been together long enough to learn how to work as a team.
correct.
So that is kind of like the main thing I took away from the first episode. Like, here's a bunch of guys, they all have differently colored workout armor, and they do not know how to work together. So they more or less get their asses kicked by one solitary, just kind of soldier in the Laughing Clouds army. And if that sounds completely insane, welcome to the show, because that's pretty much what it is. Did you have a favorite kind of just among the Ronin Warriors? I know you want to talk about the Warlord, so I want to get to them next.
No.
You didn't have one at all?
I mean, did you?
Well, we didn't really have a chance to really get to know them. Again, they show up, they have different colored armor, and that's it. You don't really get to see them at all. Ryo kind of takes charge, just kind of like stumbles into a victory in a really, really strange way. Sean, since you mentioned earlier about Mia and Yuli being just basically meat shields and just being casualties, do you remember what their great contribution to this battle was?
Well, they got so
Yeah.
Buckethead, at some point he puts them inside of a television
Yeah, I don't
screen.
know how his power works. He kind of just like grabs them up and then they disappear and they're like, "Well, what the hell?" And they look up on like a Times Square kind of massive TV screen and the two are just stuck in a TV monitor somewhere.
So this sequence of events is very confusing for
Yes.
me because what happens is that Yuli and Mia get put into this television screen, and then Buckethead, he has kind of like a it looks like a like a like a sight like a
Yeah, he's got like a
sight.
scythe on it. Doesn't he have it on a chain? Isn't it on
It's
a
all
chain?
yeah, it's on a chain, and
Yeah.
on the end of the chain there's a ball with
Right.
some spikes. It was very like was it the girl from Kill Bill, from the Crazy 88,
Yeah.
whatever her name
I
was.
want to
It
say
was it.
Deadly Little Mio, but that's from Sin City, so
That's right.
that's not the same.
But Buckethead drags the scythe across his chest. He
Yeah,
cuts
across his
himself.
armor, yeah.
He cuts himself, and that was the moment where I was like, whoa, maybe the dynasty is legit.
Yeah.
Maybe
I
these
would have
guys,
welcomed them as our new overlords because they're pretty sweet.
maybe these guys aren't fucking
No.
around. So they're into self-mutilation. This is some not okay. I'm not okay with this shit. So they get into it. Buckethead cuts himself, and it causes Yuli and Mia pain.
Yeah, which was a
So
pretty
then,
cool little power, the fact that so now he's basically saying to the Ronins, like, anything you do to me, you're gonna inflict on these two idiots. At which point Ryo doesn't really even seem to care, because he just kind of, isn't this when he just like powers up and uses his death blow power?
he powers up his armor,
Right.
and then he shoots he had attacked them, and it hurt them. It hurt Yuli and Mia. The sequence of events was Ryo attacks Buckethead,
Check.
and you see Yuli and Mia react in pain. To which Ryo is just like, whoa, what's going on? To then Buckethead's just like, oh no, I'm gonna cut myself. Anything you do to me, it affects them. To then Ryo's like, well, I don't really give a zero.
Yeah.
I give no fucks. And I think, what was it? Yuli is just you have to beat him, you have to win. And so he powers up his Ryo powers up or Ryo powers up his armor and shoots an electrical
Yeah, it
blast.
was like his fire, what was it called? The flare up? Something like
Yeah,
that.
well, which is like it sounds like a like it sounds like he's calling for like a Valtrex
Yeah,
commercial.
he's just got like a herpes infection that's just gonna slowly take the bad guys down
Oh,
through just through embarrassment, through sheer embarrassment.
it is tragic.
Yeah.
And so he uses this flare up, and it incinerates Buckethead. But yet Yuli and Mia are
Totally
totally
fine.
fine,
Perfectly fine.
perfectly
even
fine.
pulled out of the nether realm. They're not in the TV anymore, which I thought, like, I was like, okay, he trapped them somewhere. If you destroy him, maybe they're okay still, but they're gonna be trapped somewhere, and that'll give these guys a reason to like stay together and go try to save them. Nope, they're just totally fine. They're back in the real world, everything's cool.
Like, I almost wanted to say that, like, what happened was Ryo kills them in the first episode, and then
That also would have been
her.
acceptable to me.
But like they just continue to exist like as spirits for the rest of them as like part of like this like shared fever dream
Like a Yu
or
Yu
like
Hakusho kind of thing, where they're just like haunting him for a while.
yes, like just like intense guilt that like they all
Oh, they're
feel
just guilt demons, just like
guilt
waiting in the
demons.
drain. Yeah.
I
That I would have watched. But no, they're
want
just. Yeah, I would have watched that. No, they're just really irritating meat bags that just follow him along and get him into trouble and cause them to get the shit beat out of him. And thrown into a volcano eventually, but you know.
Yeah. So you asked if I had one in particular. I
Yeah.
guess we should probably just like read down the list. I
Sure.
liked Sage Date,
Okay.
which I thought he was the most interesting. He had the Halo armor.
Right.
And I just loved, so I've been reading over the past week the this Wikia article called RoninWarriors.wikia.com.
Okay.
And they have Sage has wild blonde hair and pale purple eyes. And I was like,
Is this a fanfiction?
pale purple
Let's
eyes?
just
Like,
come on.
get
He's
out
got
of
lilac
here.
eyes. Just call it what it is. He's got lilac eyes.
I think that in and of itself is just super dreamy.
He's
So
the dreamiest Ronin warrior.
the dreamiest runway. So we have Ryo the Wildfire, we have Sage of the Halo, we have Sai of the Torrent.
Right? Which is a pretty sweet name. I like Sai of the Torrent.
That's a pretty cool one. Was that your favorite?
No, my favorite, you'll get to him in a second.
Kento of Hard Rock,
Still not mine.
which is a pretty cool one. Like if you're into like some 80s and 90s metal,
Yeah, definitely.
and then Rowan of the Strata.
That's who I like. I like Rowan of the Strata.
Okay.
Rowan, you meet, I think it's Rowan who actually saves Ryo from getting killed in the first episode. And then Rowan's just kind of like the smart one of the group. He, you know,
He's the
second
guy
to
who
the agent.
always does the like the sideways kick that they reuse like they reuse in different battles. Like in the first three episodes, I think they used it at least three
Definitely.
times.
He's also the one that like he's always giving like sage advice and wisdom and like strategy to the other ones. But for some reason, his face, like the outline of his face always looks forward, but he's talking out of the side of his face. And it's weird
Yeah.
if you watch it, like it just the face shape never moves, but his eyes and mouth just shift from one side to the other, and it's really fucking creepy because his jaw never moves. But anyway, so those are our Ronin warriors. You now know as much about them as we do from watching the first episode. They have names and they have different colored armor. That's about it. The more interesting things, I think, are the antagonists of this show.
Yes,
Yeah, pretty cool.
yes.
And we're introduced to two of them, technically. We've got Talpa, the Emperor of the Evil Dynasty, and then we're introduced to Anubis, who is kind of watching the Ronin Warriors in their first skirmish against one of the dynasty's soldiers. So he's just kind of like
Yeah.
watching from on high in this pretty sweet armor. And then Sean, I'm gonna let Sean walk through the other warlords and each of their names, because these guys blow the Ronin Warriors just out of the water, just as far as coolness of names goes. So, take it
Yeah,
away.
yeah. So, well, we mentioned Anubis, but we didn't mention like what their specific dark warlord titles are.
Right.
And so his like on his business card is Anubis, the Dark Warlord of
That's
Cruelty.
pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah. What else you got?
We have Kale,
Yeah. With a
Dark
C, not a
Warlord
K, so.
of yeah, right? Kale, Dark Warlord of Corruption.
I like it.
That's pretty
I like
cool.
it.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. We have Deus, the Dark Warlord of Illusion.
And he actually opened for Siegfried and Roy this year, so that's good for him.
And I'm going to screw this name up. Is it
Sekhmet.
Sekhmet?
Sekhmet.
Sekhmet. I nailed it.
You got it.
Sekhmet, who is the Dark Warlord of Venom.
Which might be the best name
That
in
is
this
so
list.
cool.
Because even like Tilapia, Emperor of the Evil Dynasty, is not great, but the rest of these are pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are here to make your life a living hell.
Dude, and
And
here's what I love. Like, we're introduced to Anubis in his armor, just kind of like just kind of watching the warriors fight and just kind of laughing, like, these guys do not have their shit together. They don't know how to work as a team. There's no way they're going to be a threat to us or the Emperor, so it's fine. We'll handle it.
yeah.
They kind of learn throughout the next couple episodes that, shit, maybe the warriors are a little stronger than we gave them credit for, mostly because they're just figuring out their armor powers still early on. But you do get introduced to the other warlords in kind of a weird way. Do you remember the first time that we see them?
They're kind of like in front of they're kind of in front of
Yeah,
tilapia,
just his
like,
giant floating fish face. Yeah.
but they're like out of armor, and they're
Yeah.
just kind of it looks like they're just kind of like in a business meeting.
Yeah, but they're just like hanging out in darkness. Like, there's nothing
Yeah.
around them. It's almost like teenagers in a dark corner of like a rundown mall. They're all just like hanging out kind of near each other, but not creepily near each other. And you can only see like they're kind of half like in shadow and half not. It's really weird. It's just a very strange introduction to these guys, especially because they're all just standing around in like street clothes. Like, there's nothing like
There's like a
awe-inspiring
bunch of
about them.
like big candles that are in the room,
Yeah. It's like the
and there was
ambiance
actually there
is.
was one really really cool shot where Anubis is like he gets tasked with fighting the Ronin warriors, and it's like a side profile shot of him, and then one of the candles just like goes out, and that's like the cut to cut like the fade to black, and you're like ooh. Spooky. So like that's kind of
No,
cool.
there were some cool bits and pieces in between. But again, like 95% of this stuff was just fighting. So it was just the fight against Buckethead and then the fight against Anubis in the second episode, which, dude, was there anything in the second episode you really wanted to even touch on? Because.
Yeah, so there was one thing. So like at the very beginning, kind of when they talk about and they like they all put on their armor. So like one of the thing you need to mention is that like each of these Ronin warriors have like a virtue that's assigned to them.
Which what that like when they power up and put their armor on, they kind of like wrap themselves in a weird flowery ribbon, which I don't understand, Japan. I don't know what you're doing, but I liked it.
Hey Dave, too. And they also have like a virtue.
Yeah, and I don't remember what all the different ones were, but they like to say it kind of over and over again when they're doing their little power
Right.
up, right?
When they're putting their armor on. Well, the thing that's interesting about episode two, and this may have been from the English language translation, is that they only said four of the five, but all five of them powered up.
Oh, that's weird. Which one did they leave
Like,
out?
I
Do you
had
remember?
to do it three times because they do like justice, trust, wisdom, life, and then that was it.
That's it.
And I
That's
was
all you
like,
get.
wait, hold on a minute. Like, did they get all of them?
I love
No?
that
Did they not? Like, I w
I love the Wikipedia note for Ryo though, because it says Ryo wears the Wildfire armor. His virtue is Jin, righteousness, rendered simply as virtue within the series. So his virtue is virtue, which I don't know
is
why I love
virtue,
that, but
yeah.
yeah. Virtue. Yeah.
Virtue.
Well, okay, so
So,
you
but
mentioned in a
yeah.
second, were you gonna talk about their little like circle of power kind of thing? You remember
Oh
that?
yeah, you do see like one interesting aspect of their abilities, which leads you to believe that like they have had some training together, but
Yeah.
like you're never really sure how much. Like they all begin to run in a circle around Yuli and Mia,
Oh,
and
which was just obnoxious, yeah.
they form like this like pentagon around them, with like a star in the middle, with like a pentagram in the middle, and it's like a 5-point like protective
They're worshiping
seal,
the devil at this point. It's fine.
right? That like is with all of their armor, and like that's how they are protecting the two of them. That's how they're protecting Kanan and Father, is by like creating this circle and allowing them to like exist and live inside of it.
Yeah,
And
rather
like
than just killing them or leaving them trapped in a TV dimension like they should have, but yeah.
it's effective,
Yeah.
except that they can't then use the armor to fight the guy that they need to fight.
Yeah,
So
so didn't really think that one through,
catch
guys.
22.
Yeah. I will say this though, the interesting thing that kind of happens in the third episode Actually, I think it's what? It's the end of the second episode, right? Where Talpa kind of steps in and he's like, "Whoa, they're getting a little too strong. I need to separate these guys."
Yeah,
Yeah, so he
exactly.
kind of like either the circle breaks or he breaks the circle. And he kind of like he sees that Anubis isn't going to quite be able to finish him off, so he calls up this like black tornado kind of thing, and it just gobbles up the Ronin warriors and it flings them to like desolate locations, so they're all separated from each other, and that's kind of how the second episode ends with
But like not very far.
no,
Like
not real far.
the mountain where he throws Ryo is like visible inside of the city. Like it's on the outskirts of the city.
He
He kind of
flings them
just
into the
picks everybody
five
up.
boroughs of Toyama. That was about it. So we got one guy in the Bronx. We got one guy in, he might be down in Hoboken. I'm not sure, but he's not too far. He's just a
Probably
quick
up
hop over
in,
the Hudson,
that's
and
like
there he is.
a, from the look of it. They all ended up in Hackensack, New
Yeah,
Jersey.
they're all in
Like.
Hackensack. Cherry Hill. Yeah. So I don't know, but we basically the only thing that was interesting about that is it serves as almost an introduction to the rest of the series, because what happens is Mia and Yuli go to look for Ryo or Rio de Janeiro, and they find white. I think they come across like a white blaze, and they actually find one of Ryo's swords that he drops while he was fighting Anubis,
Right.
and that kind of leads them to Ryo, who is more or less in this volcano. Now, keep in mind that he's got the wildfire armor, so you might think like fire and armor together, probably a good thing, and you would be correct, because at this point he kind of like he gets his armor up to kind of like the next level, and he's able to more or less take on Anubis one on one. He doesn't need the rest of the team, and the rest of the team has been, flung into the far reaches of this city, so we don't know where they are
Yeah.
yet. So finally, it serves as a an introduction to the rest of the series. Go ahead.
I mean, like, bro gets thrown into a volcano without like armor over his face, and he's just like, yeah, I'm
Yeah, I'm
cool.
totally fine.
Totally
Not
cool.
even sweating. Just
Not at
loving it.
all.
Hold on, I
Why
actually
would
have one of his quotes, which was my favorite
Oh,
quote from the episodes
please.
that we watched. Once he gets his like wildfire armor, they just kind of do a close up on him, and he's like, "Whoa, what's happening to me? I'm on fire from the inside out, but my body is more powerful than ever." He's basically just having like a sexual awakening in a freaking volcano. It's
Oh,
really disturbing but hilarious.
that is
Now, do
perfect.
you remember in this one, they're basically battling along the rim of a volcano. Do you remember in this one what Cannon and Fodder end up getting themselves into versus
Oh, they get
Anubis?
like they almost get like thrown into the volcano themselves, and
Well, they
then
do, but yeah.
like they get in the way. I don't know how else to say that, like they just don't learn their lesson.
I actually love the way that they do it, because Anubis was smart enough. He can't get near Ryo because his armor is now just like super intense with the heat. So he can't get near it. His weapons are going to melt. He's going to get overheated. So what he does, he wraps up these idiots in his chain, his weapon that he
Yeah,
has, and he basically just holds them in front of him like a fucking shield and just walks them towards Ryo, because Ryo can't get near him or he's going to burn his buddies to a crisp. And then at some point, for whatever reason, probably because they wrote themselves into a corner, Anubis is just like, I'm not going to fight you anymore, and I don't feel like holding on to these dummies, so I'm just going to toss them in the volcano. And I love the sequence that happens next, because Ryo dives in afterwards, and in the longest fall into a volcano in human history,
Amazing.
he has time to like strategize two or three different ways of rescuing them. And then they show it too. Like he says, "Oh, if I go down there with my armor, I'm just going to burn them to a crisp." And then it's not enough that he tells you that. They actually show it happening. So he just dives down, picks him up with his armor, and they just more or less just disintegrate in his arms, which I
And
found
you
hilarious.
would almost think, Dave, that based on how he's responded previously
Yeah.
with like shooting electricity into Buckethead, that he would have just done it anyway and been like, ah, you're fine.
I didn't just think that, I hoped that. Unfortunately, I was disappointed, because what he does is even stranger. So he basically just like sends his armor away. I guess you can just mentally do that. He can just be like, "Nope, no more armor." And then he pulls off like the craziest bastardization of physics known to man. He just grabs the two of them and then just kind of like crickets himself, hopping from rock to rock until he's back out of the volcano. They just throw all kind of like well, I don't want to say reality, but all kind of laws of physics and things like that. There's no weight, there's no gravity, literally, to a lot of the action sequences and stuff in this. So it's just kind of silly. It's very cartoonish.
So on that note,
Yeah.
Dave, Would you recommend this
Well,
show?
now here is the only twist. We haven't really been super positive about the first three episodes. The twist that makes it kind of interesting is that once Ryo survives this ordeal, once the idiots also survive to cause havoc another day, Anubis is more or less burnt to a crisp, but he survives to get chewed out by tilapia, broiled tilapia. So what's interesting then is Ryo now has these new powers. He's feeling stronger. He knows he can hold his own. And now he knows that what he has to do is go find his missing brothers, who hopefully have also powered up in various elemental ways, which of course they have,
Right.
so they can come back together and be stronger and then eventually defeat the Dark Emperor. The funny part is that the Ancient has just been watching them do this the entire time, and he's like, finally, Ryo understands what he must do next. End of the episode. See you next time, kids. It's just such a fucking irritating thing. It does make me want to go back and watch a handful of episodes, maybe, just to see if it gets better. Ah, man, I have a really tough time recommending this one, though, which is disappointing. I'm gonna go lukewarm on this. I'm gonna say like 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think that's the first time that we've ever had a number rating on
I
anything.
know, I know. I love my
Ooh.
numbers. Remind me, I want to end up my section when you're done with a little commentary on White Blaze, by the way.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
but go
Well,
ahead.
I think I'd give this show like 5 destroyed Japanese provinces out of 7.
Has seven? Is that
Yeah.
good?
I have no
I don't
idea.
know what that is.
I recommend this show
Okay.
though. Like I remember watching it clearly when I was a kid, and I was glad that I had a chance to kind of dig back into this now. It kind of left me interested, and like with there only being 39 episodes, I'd make the investment to possibly binge watch some of them. I get the feeling that it's going to be a lot of like very repetitive, and if it's anything like some of the other anime that I've been watching, especially like I've been binge watching Naruto lately, and like sometimes there's episodes where I'm just like, I can skip this.
You can
Like
skip
this,
entire chunks because they
I
just
can,
divert from their main arc and they just go into these goofy side things or flashbacks or
yeah,
whatever.
like I can get out of
Oh
this
yeah.
episode
Dude, I love that's
and.
a perfect example of like even the title itself. Perfect example of an original Japanese version versus the Americanized version because you're just like, "Oh yeah, I love Naruto." And then like the purists will be like, "Oh, you mean Naruto?" Like that,
Yeah.
and I watch it on Hulu. I watch it in the Japanese audio with the English subtitles, and I just like it better that way. I have nothing
Oh,
against the
do
English dub. They have a really good voice cast. I just started watching the Japanese one, so it's weird for me to switch over.
I've just been watching the dubbed
Oh,
ones,
really?
and
Okay.
I just yeah, I like it's on Amazon Prime.
See, but I'm on Hulu and I'm like caught
Cause
up to
I come.
the most
Oh,
recent one.
really?
Yeah, so like I'm just sitting around waiting each week for a new one to come out, and they're doing
Oh.
this shitty flashback thing, so I'm just waiting now.
Okay.
It's again, it's
So
the
I think
struggle
you
of the
can
world.
jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the struggle is that you can jump and you can maybe cut a bunch of episodes out of this. But I think I would recommend Ronin Warriors. Like this was fun to watch, and I despite all of its flaws and sort of the long battle sequences, like if I get
Right.
like into 4, 5, 6, and it's just again like one massive fight, I'd
Right.
be like, I'm gonna redact my recommendation.
I think they'll probably go and they'll just find each of the guys in turn over the next few episodes, I'm
Oh,
hoping. And I
yeah.
will say this, let me backpedal a little bit. So 6 out of 10 for the American dub that we watched. I want to hold back that reservation. I want to have a reservation for the Japanese one because I feel like that's probably a little bit better. So if you can
Fair.
find that one or maybe check it out on DVD sometime this year, and give that a shot. It probably holds up a little bit better. It probably makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's probably what
I
it is.
would keep watching it
Yeah.
alone to be able to see Sekhmet,
Yeah, just
the
wait till the Dark Warlord
Dark
of
Warlord
Venom
of
shows
Venom.
up. Now, here's what you got to watch for. You have to watch for Black Blaze.
Ooh, is that a thing?
That's the thing. So there's a black tiger that I think belongs to one of the warlords. If not one of the warlords, then one of the other antagonists that eventually shows up later in the show. There is a, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there is a crazy kind of like side story that takes, it kind of follows White Blaze and Black Blaze, and it ends in a really kind of interesting and sad way. But
Oh.
I'm just going to leave that as a teaser. That might actually get you interested in watching some more of these episodes.
Oh, I
And
feel
we
like it
also
doesn't
have to
end
mention
well.
the Inferno armor, which I mentioned in the beginning of the episode. So we
Yes.
never got to talk about it really or see it, but it basically is like,
It's
if you're,
all white, isn't
it's all
it?
white, But it's basically like if you know you've got the Voltron, who are five separate entities that come together into one to be more powerful. You've got Power Rangers that do the exact same thing. You can't really do that with the Ronin Warriors. So what they do is they kind of like give all their powers of the armor together, and Ryo just happens to be the wearer of the one that he possesses the Inferno armor, and that you know jacks his power level like to the wazoo, so he can like take on tilapia at that point. So that's kind of where that comes in. But that's kind of a cool thing, a
So
cool, you know.
it jacks Ryo?
It jacks him.
How much?
Oh, it just jacks him just right up there.
That's what I
Yeah.
wanted
Jacks
to
him all over tilapia.
hear. Oh my God.
That's a new special on a DC area restaurant, if I'm not mistaken. This has gotten disgusting. So
Oh, jump back out.
speaking of DC area, what are you up to the
Oh
next
my
couple of weeks,
God.
buddy?
Holy crap, dude. I have a bunch of shows. So Washington Improv Theater is in the midst of their Fighting Improv SmackDown tournament, which
Fist.
is a it's their version of March
Nice.
Madness, where you, as the audience, gets to vote on who advances to the next round.
Excellent. So
I
your team is the
recently.
Wichita State Golden Shockers.
Is that what that is? Is that a good thing?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I've already competed and I won my first match.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank
Did you
you.
kill
So,
the competition?
I'm
Did you
sorry?
murder the competition?
They're all like I sent back all of their heads in
Okay.
boxes.
No,
I
that's how you
made
do
all
it.
of their families recreate the scene in Seven, the end of Seven. But you can see me perform with Knox. I'll be performing March 28th at 10 p.m., April 4th at 10 p.m., and then April 11th at 4 p.m.
Very nice.
Which will be part of the like the finals or like the semifinals that will conclude that April the 1st. You are also going to be able to find me. I will be. I wrote a short and acted in it last year, and it was accepted into the Women in Comedy
Ooh,
Festival.
congratulations.
Thank you, and we'll be screening that. I will be on hand with the with Tony Lazzaroni and also our other friend Brianna Lux, who are the executives and producers of Crowded Elevator Pictures. And so I will be up in Boston on April 22nd. If you want to come out and say hi April 22nd, please do. I will be there hanging out in Cambridge having a drink.
Dude, you are killing it on the plugs lately. I don't have anything to compete with
Oh man,
that.
I've got like weirder plugs coming up in the future,
That's
and
great.
I can't wait to throw those out there. So they're
You should.
fun.
I'm just gonna start making some stuff up. Like,
it be something where it's like two of these plugs are lies and one
yeah,
of
we'll
them
just play Balderdash with plugs, and you
is
got to pick the real one.
the truth? Oh, I love it.
Ah, good times.
So, what are you up to, Dave? Where can I find or where can I
Where
find stuff you're
can you
doing?
find me? You can find me over at Collider.com and Collider.com/TV, where I review
Yeah.
such shows as Gotham, whenever that comes back. The Flash, which is freaking awesome this week. It was a great one.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I won't ruin anything for you, but it's good. Go check it out. I don't want to say anything. Arrow, which has actually been pretty good too. Those two just came back on the CW. And also The Walking Dead on AMC for the next couple of weeks. We've only got two episodes left in this season, so that's coming to a close pretty quickly. You can read up
Ooh,
on
get
my
on it.
recaps on each of those shows over at Collider.com and Collider.com/TV. If you're interested in finding out more about Saturday morning cartoons, hop on over to our website. That's SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also hassle us on Twitter at MorningTunes. Check out Sean's handiwork over on the Tumblr page. Are we going to have a bunch of just crazy armor gifs up there? I don't even know what
I
to.
mean, there's one or two up there right now. I put a bunch of crazy robotic stuff up there for
Oh,
you.
did you? Okay, I got to check
Oh
that out.
yeah,
Robotics.
there's one of Stegor that you'll love.
Okay, I got to check that out. And you guys should check it out too at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Please, please, please send us an email. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what we can improve, what we can change, more things to call Baron. Any episodes that you want us to cover, any shows you want us to cover, send us an email, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. You can also head on over to Stitcher and iTunes, do a search for us so you can listen to our podcast each and every week. I think I've got the next episode correct again this time. I'm going to go for two in a row.
Before we do that,
Yes.
where can I find you on? Where can I find you,
Oh, me
Dave,
personally.
online?
Me
You
personally.
personally.
I am at Tilapia Emperor on Twitter. No, that's not true. I wish it
Oh,
was.
God.
Emperor Tilapia. No, I'm at Dr.
Okay.
Claw MD on
You
Twitter.
can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Paul
Very well
Ellis.
done. Yeah.
And Dave, a drum
Yeah.
roll. Because you're going to get this
No, we're
right.
both doing drum rolls, so no one's going to answer anything. We're just going to drum roll till we pass out.
What are we watching
We're
next
watching
week?
T-Bone and Razor and SWAT Cats.
That's
Oh man,
right.
I'm so excited for that.
You nailed that.
This is one of my absolute favorite theme songs ever. It's energetic. It's rockin'. There are no lyrics, so you can't screw it up. It's a good time. It's like Top Gun with cats. So
Ah,
the
love
internet's
it.
going to
So good.
explode.
And to see us out tonight,
Ooh, I had one. Let's see what you got.
Dave, I have one for
Uh-oh.
you.
Crap, I'm so bad at this.
On your Dark Warlord business card,
Yeah.
what are you the Dark Warlord of?
Ooh, boy. I am the Dark Warlord of bacon fat.
That's
Because it's
perfect.
so tasty. Actually, that ties into what I was going to ask you, buddy, so this is going to take us out too.
It.
You are now the Ronin Warrior to my Dark Warlord. What is your armor type? What's the
Oh
name of
my.
your armor, let's say?
It'd be pizza.
Armor of pizza.
Armor of
We
pizza.
got to get the two of us together.
Bacon
Bacon fat and pizza.
fat pizza. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya. Thanks again.